Rav Chaim Shmulevitz brings an important lesson from this week's Parsha, Parshas Balak. Balak sends messengers to Bilam to ask him to come and curse the Jews. Bilam, who was a Navi, knew that any mission will not be successful without the permission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he told the messengers, "Stay here over the night so I can see if I have permission to go." HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him that night and said, "Don't go. Don't go with them and don't curse the nation, because this nation is blessed." Bilam was an arrogant man, and he did not want to tell the people that he couldn't go with them because Hashem didn't let. So he responded by saying, "Hashem doesn't let me go with you." And with that he implied, "But with greater people than you, then I can go." Which is why in the next pasuk we see that Balak sends to Bilam sarim rabim v'nichbadim me'ela. He sends him bigger and greater people. This sending other people would not make sense. If Hashem said don't go, then he can't go with anybody. Rav Chaim says, it's not that Bilam told them this and was trying to deceive them. Bilam actually interpreted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words in the way that he wanted to interpret them. A person hears what he wants to hear. He didn't want to hear that he couldn't go. So what he heard was the part of don't go with them. And that's what he conveyed. We do this, we all do this, all the time. It's called selective hearing. It means that our desires push us in the way that we want to go. Ultimately, Bilam is going to go to curse, and that's because b'derech she'adam ritzeh lelech, melechino yaseh, which means that if you're determined to do something, then you can have a HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down and telling you not to do it. You won't hear it. You do it anyways. A HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you the ability to go, the leeway to do what it is that we ultimately want to do. Our ratzon makes a big difference, and that's why we have to be so careful that our ratzon is being guided l'shem shemayim, and we're not twisting the things that we hear or that we know or that we see, even the way that we ask shailas, to be the way that we want. We have to be removing ourselves and try and be as objective as possible to make sure that, no, this is, I'm doing actually what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The Gemara brings a story about a person whose name was Rav Elish, who was taken captive. One day, a man was sitting next to him. Rav Elish, and this man who was sitting next to him understood the language of birds. A raven came and called to him, and Rav Elish said to this person, who was a guy, "What does it say? What's the raven saying?" And the person says, the interpreter of the language of the bird says, the raven, is saying, "Elish, run away, Elish, run away." Elish said, "I am a false bird, and I don't trust the raven. I don't trust if the raven says, Elish, run away, that I should run away. If I run away, I'm going to be caught, I'm going to be punished, I'm going to be taken captive again. It's not worth it." Then a dove comes, and the dove is chirping away, and Rav Elish again asked the guy, what is it saying? And the man replied, "The dove is saying, Elish, run away, Elish, run away." Elish said, "Knesset Yisrael is compared to a dove. This shows that a nace is going to be performed for me. I'm going to run away." Rabbi Akiva Eger asks, in the Aruch, it says that Rav Elish knew the language of birds as well. And if Rav Elish knew the language of birds, why would the Aruch say that he knew the language of birds if it doesn't say so in the Gemara? And if he knew the language of birds, why didn't he just listen to the birds himself? Why did he need the guy to interpret it? We'll answer this question with a different question. The different question is that Rav Elish didn't trust the raven. Why is he trusting the guy who is telling him what the birds are saying? And perhaps the answer is that, like Rabbi Akiva is explaining the Aruch, he did know the language of birds. Of course he knew the language of birds, because if he didn't himself know the language of birds, he wouldn't have trusted the guy. But he so badly wanted to run away. So when he heard and he understood that the raven was telling him to run away and then the dove was telling him to run away, he realized that I better make sure that that's what they're really saying. Because I want it to be true. I want them to be telling me to run away. And I can't trust myself that that's really what they're saying. So he turns to the guy who also understands the language of birds, and he's just confirming with the guy that this is actually what the birds are saying. We can ask many questions on this story, but the lesson we learn from this story is how careful we have to be not to listen selectively, and to make sure that what we're doing is really because it's objectively the right thing to do. And sometimes, like Rav Elish, we have to turn to somebody and ask, is this really what the Torah is telling me to do? Is I asked a shayla of the Rav, am I understanding the answer of the Rav correctly? Am I understanding the guidance I'm getting? Am I reading the halacha right? Because if it's something that I want to do, I might read it wrong just because this is really what I want. We have another example of this, or of Moshe Rosenstein, the Mashgiach of the Lamja Yeshiva brings. He says that when David HaMelech is about to die, he says to his son Shlomo HaMelech, please make sure that Yoav, who killed two generals, Avner ben Ner and Amasa, gets his punishment after I die. And also, another person, Shimri ben Gera, who is a great person, but he cursed me when I was trying to run away. He cursed me. Make sure that Shimri ben Gera and Yoav get their just punishment. We usually see that a person gets more mellow as time goes on. Meaning, if he was angry in his youth, when he gets older, and certainly right before he dies, it's not the time to take revenge. It's not the time to ask for people to be killed. But of course we know David HaMelech wasn't trying to take revenge. He was trying to make sure that these two very, very great people get their punishment in this world. He didn't want them to get to Olam HaEmes and then get their punishment. He knew if Shlomo HaMelech takes care of it in this world, it's taken care of. He was actually doing them a favor. The problem was that Shimi cursed him. The problem was that Yoav had betrayed him. And both of these things were very, very painful, must have been very, very painful for David HaMelech. How could David HaMelech make sure that when he was punishing Shimi and he was punishing Yoav, that it would be entirely L'shem Shemayim and there wouldn't be any nekama in here and there wouldn't be any of David HaMelech's personal feelings in here? He couldn't know. And therefore, he couldn't do it. He couldn't punish them. It was only right before he died, when he knew that there was not going to be any benefit to him whatsoever. There was not going to be any gain. There's no ulterior motives. Then he can ask Shlomo HaMelech to take care of it. Similarly, we see that David HaMelech really wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. And he couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash because he was busy fighting wars. So he asked the obvious question. He couldn't hire somebody else either to build the Beis HaMikdash or to fight the wars for him. There was no one else who can take care of it. Why couldn't he build the Beis HaMikdash just because he was fighting the wars? And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that when we build the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to lead to peace. It's going to lead to peaceful times. Now, David HaMelech, clearly, if he was going to build the Beis HaMikdash, he was going to build it for L'shem Shemayim. And the only reason he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash is because he wanted to build a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But because he was fighting wars, it's possible that there is a small, little bit of benefit to him and to his people for building the Beis HaMikdash. Not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to have his home, but also it's going to end the wars. And because he was busy fighting the wars, there couldn't, chas v'shalom, have been any chance of there being anything but the L'shem Shemayim part. When you're building the Beis Hashem, it's got to be totally L'shem Shemayim. And therefore, it had to wait till Shlomo HaMelech's time to make sure that the building of the Beis HaMikdash was built totally, only, and utterly L'shem Shemayim. The lesson we take from here is that in our actions, and especially in our monumental actions, we shouldn't be like Bilam. Bilam asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. He gets a very clear answer, and he twists and turns it to fit into his desires, his life view, to do exactly what he wanted to do. We need to take a step back, listen to, like Rav Dessler says, we all have a Mabata MS, we all have a voice of truth inside of us that tells us, no, really, really, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is where you're supposed to be. This is where it's at. To listen to our own voice, and if in doubt, turn to someone else, like Rav Elish did, and ask so that we can make sure that what we're actually listening to is not our own desires, but that our actions be L'shem Shemayim.